Welcome to F1 Debrief episode 86, Force Honda A-Team. Coming up on this show, we discuss Honda's exit, standard engines, and our trip to Paris.
So last week, we promised everybody a week off. We said we're going away and there's no podcast.
Yeah,
we're going to be busy.
There wasn't going to be a show. I said you could have a week off.
And there is a show.
Yep.
Why?
Week off cancelled.
What happened?
Honda did some stuff. Some news happened.
Uh-huh.
And we need to talk about it.
I haven't heard much about that. Do you want to fill me in?
We might need to talk about it.
Really? Okay. We'll get to that in a second. Shall we start as usual?
Yes. Bad week. Bad week. That's not quite usual.
That sounds vaguely familiar, but slightly different. It's just been one of those weeks, isn't it?
It's been a bad week for Credit Suisse as they have axed 11% of the workforce. There's been persistent speculation that they'll pull out of sponsoring BMW at the end of this year, and the news just makes it seem even more likely.
We get a lot of these news stories come out each and every week at the moment. More layoffs from more companies, more sponsors. Yep. First it was Williams with their Bauger deal and their Icelandic connections causing the problems, and now it looks like it's affecting BMW as well.
It's been a bad week for Hockenheim, as organisers say without government intervention, they'll not be able to afford to host a race there anymore. It's Nürburgring's turn in 2009, but Hocker's made a €5.3 million loss this year, so they might not want to take their turn in 2010.
Well, part of them have actually fallen out with Max, haven't they, earlier this year, and there was rumours that they may not be able to host a Grand Prix anyway. So, no friends.
No.
And no money. No, bad for German motorsport all around.
It's been a bad week for Giorgio Pantano, who's complaining that he's the first GP2 champion to be completely ignored by Formula One teams. He said, "I challenge anyone to have a CV as good as mine. I won 2 karting world titles, 3 European, 3 Italian, German F3, GP2, and was always at the front in F3000. But now I don't have a seat in F1. Is this a joke?"
No, but then we never expected him to have any F1 interest, so why did
he? Well, he was in it before.
Yeah, he didn't do very good. Didn't set the world on fire.
Why would they want him back?
Don't know. I don't know anyone who was expecting him to get an F1 test. What was slightly peculiar is he decided to get Bernie involved, which I thought was a bit peculiar. He said he called up Bernie and Bernie called him back.
He said he called up some teams, they weren't interested, so he called up Bernie to get him involved.
How often does the driver do that?
Why does Bernie have a say in who goes where?
I'm not sure. And why is he so interested to call him back?
It's been a bad week for fans of big launches for the second week in a row as McLaren turned their back on the massive Valencia-style do to announce a simple affair at the Technology Centre in Woking on January the 16th. But they said there would be a twist.
A twist?
Yeah.
What sort of twist? Is it like a chubby checker twist? Is that the kind of twist we're going to have? That would be very cool if like the McLaren guys come out and let's twist again into a bit of a boogie.
Really?
Looking forward to that one. I'm going to keep my eye out for that.
News and views. Obviously, the big news this week is Honda and their exit from F1. It is so bizarre how this happened because, firstly, GrandPrix.com and Pit Pass both had inside sources saying that the staff at Brackley were called in for an emergency meeting.
Well, originally, actually, the suspicions were raised because en masse, Honda employees started applying for Formula One jobs. You know how often we buy Autosport and we look to the back and see if there's any Formula One jobs we can't do
and can't understand
and can't apply for.
Can't understand why they're advertising in Autosport.
Yeah, it seems like a peculiar place. But basically, all of those open positions this week, presumably we're getting the odd CV every now and then of an interested party or two, and suddenly, presumably, managed to get 400 or 500 CVs from Honda staff, which raised questions amongst GrandPrix.com and Pit Pass. So that was the first sign there was trouble, and then the news rolled in from there.
Once the emergency meeting had taken place, we had more inside information saying that Honda were going to pull out of the sport. We had to wait for confirmation until the next day because
official.
Japan had to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
And we got it. We knew it was coming. They said, "We're leaving the sport." And that was it.
It was over.
Done.
That's it.
Just like that.
There's still speculation. I'm not entirely sure. I have no clarification on whether or not they're gone by Christmas or gone by March. When is the final cutoff point? Do we know? Because certain sources are reporting one thing and certain sources reporting another. It could be 2 weeks, or it could be 2 weeks and 3 months.
Well, the first we knew, they said we'll be funding it until March 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Then Nick Fry said that they need to present a serious offer, so get someone on board to do a deal before Christmas.
Now, that seems a little bit tight.
I mean, they don't have to get the deal finalised or anything, but they need to know that it's going to happen.
Yeah, and then
they need to present that to Honda by Christmas.
Yeah, and they're prepared to keep the factory on until they get to that point, I suppose.
Yeah.
But I'm imagining that at some point someone has to make a decision as to whether to put the freight on the boat to Australia, which sounds uncannily familiar of the Super Gurry problem earlier this year. Are we going to have transport going back and forth and then finally being pulled?
I think by then it will either be known or they'll be gone. So really, this news is completely out of the blue.
Well, nobody was expecting it bar Max, by the sign of it, because he was prepared with a retaliation press release as if he was expecting to come for a long time. But certainly the team principals didn't know anything about it, the drivers didn't know anything about it, and none of the employees knew anything about it.
We know that Honda can be fickle when it comes to motorsport. They've been in and out a couple of times already.
They're a manufacturer, that's what you expect.
But they've spent the last 2 years basically pushing for this year, saying this is going to be their big comeback year.
They have been leading us on.
They said, you know, the new regulations are going to level the playing field.
Yep.
Everything is theirs for the taking. And now they're not going to take
it. They started preparations early.
Yeah.
As far back as France this year. They've been promising the world in terms of their KERS development. They were the first team to run KERS at a test. And they've been moving forward with their 2009 car. Ross Brawn is absolutely confident it's going to be a world beater. We saw trials of their lighting system at the last two races this year, the system that matches the Ferrari system. They promised so much to so many fans, and they've delivered not one iota of it.
They've actually spectacularly failed.
Yes, dismally.
It's not delivering, it's, you know, just abandoning everything.
They've come back into Formula One as amounted to absolutely nothing. They got one win, secured one win with Jensen. That's all they've got to show for their return. They're ditching their chassis development, and they're no longer being an engine supplier either. So they're just walking away from the sport. They're turning their back on everybody, turning their back on the fans, and just walking away and with no regrets and apparently no remorse.
For some reason, Villeneuve's weighed in on the argument.
Well, he used to be a driver. He knows, you know, he's been there.
Okay.
He has as much right as anybody else,
I guess. He says it's all political, and it does make sense that you can't spend millions on motorsport when you're busy making the rest of your workforce redundant.
Well, that is the thing. He's right. To a certain extent. Well, no, he is absolutely 100% right. This is nothing to do with budgets. This is nothing to do with cost cutting. This is nothing to do with Honda's long-term plans in Formula One. This is all about the fact that at the moment they're having to lay off and put people, essentially rest staff at their factories around the world. They're delaying plans to build any new factories, and they can't stand the bad PR they get from spending millions and millions of pounds on Formula One and getting nowhere.
But the thing is, I mean, they've seen a reduction in car sales, but the whole automotive industry is suffering.
Yes.
I mean, we saw a piece on, I think it might have been Sky News, and it said that there was a car dealer in Belgium, and he was doing a buy one, get one free
right.
deal
well,
on cars.
You can get that with a Formula One team now. Buy one RA108, get another one RA108 free.
If you can say it.
If you can say it. So that deal's going on. I mean, it is a bargain right now. If you were on the hunt for a Formula One team, Honda are the deal of the century.
They did say they would take a relatively smaller price than
I suspect. I suspect if they can avoid any bad PR, if they can get out keeping their nose clean without losing any respect, well, any more respect, then they would take a pound for the team. Quite happily, if they thought the team would continue and the people wouldn't lose their jobs. Because, I mean, the respect part of it is important to them. And if you've got a long-term view and you were ever interested in buying a Formula One team, now is the time to buy it. If we could get the funds together, we should buy that team, because look what you're going to get for the money.
So if the whole industry is suffering...
The whole world is kind of suffering.
Yeah, but I mean, particularly...
The motorsport industry.
Automotive industry.
Yes.
They're all suffering. Yep. You know, we've seen stacks of cars everywhere, not
yes.
moving.
No.
No one's buying a car anymore.
No.
But only Honda, you know, have upped sticks and left Formula One.
Yes. I don't know why it should affect them so badly. I presume because
it's because they don't have a very good business model.
Don't do this.
Let's put lots of money into green initiatives
right.
and be the only ones to do so.
Yes.
Let's not have any sponsors for 2 years.
Right.
Let's do all this forward thinking stuff.
Yes.
And well, then run out of money.
You say forward thinking, but clearly it wasn't forward thinking. I'll tell you who I blame. Simon Cowell's mate. What's that guy who created the Spice Girls? That lunatic they brought in who said, get rid of all your sponsors, have a completely clean car and paint the world on it. Because as soon as that happened, everything just went from bad to worse.
Yeah.
It's never been good since the point they unveiled the green horrible thing. And they've been banging on about it for the best part of 2 years. There was a rumour in Autosport the other week that they were going to ditch it because it just didn't work and they'd found a sponsor and it was worth ditching the whole concept for one single sponsor. I blame Simon Fuller and the entire sales and marketing team because they're clearly hopeless at their job.
Well, I guess now they're out of a job, so it's karma, isn't it?
I'll tell you something. If we were able to buy the Honda Formula One team, that's what we'd do. We'd keep the engineering talent. We'd keep the wind tunnel. We'd keep the car. We'd keep Ross Brawn. Maybe not Nick Frye. You know, I'm a bit dubious about whether he's really...
He did sleep in a tent, though.
Yes, but is that in the best interests of Honda?
He down with the kids.
Yeah. Yes. I think he's just taken the eco-mentalist attitude just a little bit too far if the head of your company is sleeping, roughing it in a tent.
That's true.
Much respect to him for doing it, but I'm not too sure it was really in Honda's best interests. But we'd keep the important people and then just ditch the PR and marketing people because they really haven't got a clue.
So podcast races.
Yes, that's what you want to do. Seriously, if we could get the funds together, we'd buy that Formula One team.
There is a Facebook group where everyone's clubbing together.
Yes.
Put in 20p, you might get a Formula One team.
Well, maybe not even that much. Just a penny would probably get you that far.
There was one thing I wanted to say about the business model. Mm. Because, you know, Japan is quite famous for the revolutionary manufacturing thing of just in time.
This is the system that came along and essentially brought British automotive engineering out of business.
It put them to shame, really.
Yes, because they did it so much better than
you don't need any stocks. You just get what you need to build it straight away.
Yes, and it's worked very well for Honda.
Yeah, except that I used to work quite a long time ago on the periphery of Honda for a company that was basically the warehouse for Honda. So, okay, they do just in time, but what they actually do is get someone else to store everything for them.
They outsource their problems.
Yeah.
And now they have thousands and thousands and thousands of cars that they can't shift. I'll tell you something very suspicious about this that I can't quite fathom. As we said, we were away at the weekend. We weren't planning to do a show this week. We went to France. And on the way into France, you have to pass one of, and I don't know if it's the only one, but there's certainly a very large, is it PSA Peugeot stroke Citroën manufacturing plant. They have thousands upon thousands upon thousands of cars stacked as high as you could possibly stack a car park full of cars. Now, I do not understand how it is the entire world has just stopped buying cars. I'm wondering if people haven't just been fiddling the books a little bit and pretending they're selling cars, and suddenly now there's a bit of a credit crunch on the go. They're actually saying, "Oh, everybody just didn't buy a car this week. Nobody bought any cars in the whole world ever. The entire world just stopped." I do not understand how they could get it so wrong. And I'm just a little bit suspicious that they're not exactly telling the truth.
Well, you did say, how can you suddenly go, oh, hang on a minute, we've got 18,000 cars here?
Yes.
How did that happen?
It kind of takes a little while to build up that amount of stock.
Yeah.
It would take you, I don't know how long, because I don't obviously do this kind of thing, but you don't just bring that many cars out of the ether. And certainly not all of the manufacturers in the world suddenly stop selling all these cars. And I just wonder if they haven't been pushing a little bit too hard. And now they're bouncing all of the sales problems onto this one into one big heap. So they basically say, you know, oh, there's a bit of a credit crunch. We haven't sold any cars this week. It just seems that there's too many cars in the world all of a sudden. Somebody's not telling the whole story.
So the question is, what next for everyone in the team? I mean, if they get bought, presumably everyone will stay together. So they'll still be headed up by Ross Brawn, Nick Frye.
Right.
Button might stay there.
He's had offers.
Yeah. Apparently he has, they've said, oh, don't worry, we'll let you out of your contract.
That's
if
nice.
If you want.
Yes.
Which is a good start, considering we completely screwed you over.
Mm.
And he may have been offered a seat at Toro Rosso. No auditioning necessary.
Wow.
Apparently. And he might test with them this week or
goodness.
Next
well, that's
week,
quite that's quite an offer for him. Anything for Rubens?
Do you know what? I haven't heard anything from Barrichello. Not what he thinks about it, whether he even knows. I haven't heard a single thing. Everyone's like, oh, poor Button. You know, what are we going to do about Button? Where's he going to go? What's going to happen? What about Rubens? I mean, perhaps we all think that perhaps he's gone anyway.
Right.
But, you know, he must have an opinion.
Well, Jensen did go to the factory and have a chat with the workers.
Yeah.
Maybe,
no Rubens.
Do you think he's on holiday? Maybe he went diving for 2 weeks and he's going to come back and suddenly find himself without a team. I'm surprised that nobody's asked where he is.
I would be a bit curious what he thinks about the whole thing.
And what his future plans are. I mean, they were looking decidedly ropey.
Yeah, but even if he's not going to be with the team or anything like that, I still want to know what he thinks about the whole
thing.
I'm
wondering if they just didn't quite have the heart to fire him, so they just closed the whole team. That was the solution to getting rid of Rubens.
Right. You need stronger management if you're going to do things like that. Ross Brawn said that it's harder for the drivers than it is for the engineering staff, because if he had to take a year out, he'd just go fishing again. Not a problem. He's not bothered.
That worked well for him last year.
Yeah.
Although he possibly picked the wrong team to come back.
He didn't know that at the time, did he?
No, he wasn't expecting that one.
but they do seem confident that they will get a buyer. I think Nick Fry said he'd had 3 offers in 12 hours or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a good deal. I can't see that you wouldn't get one. It's a better deal than Toro Rosso because they have their own chassis department. They're short of an engine, which is a problem because obviously they build their own engine at the moment. And Honda
Max has a solution to that.
Talk about perfect timing. It's almost as if, like we said before, he saw the thing coming and he had a plan ready and waiting for the off.
He must have rubbed his hands together in glee.
Yeah, well, he's been telling us for years and years and years you've got to cut costs, and suddenly a team come along and then they pull out completely unexpectedly, very short notice, and say, we can't afford to be in it. That is music to his ears.
The FOTA were meeting anyway before all this came to light. On Thursday in London, they met to discuss cost-cutting proposals,
right,
as they seem to do quite a lot.
Mm.
After the official announcement from Honda, BMW issued a statement from Klaus Dräger. Never heard of him, but apparently he's on the board.
Okay.
He said, this has no bearing on BMW's involvement in Formula One. BMW makes targeted use of the Formula One project as a technology accelerator for series production. The cost-to-benefit ratio is commensurately positive. The measures now proposed by FOTA are a further important contribution. So what they're basically saying is, we know how to use F1 to get what we want.
We know what we're doing.
Yeah.
Is what that says to me.
Montezemolo chipped in with, over the years, we've seen some coming and going of several constructors in Formula One.
Right.
Meaning, we're still here.
Yes. This whole time, we haven't gone anywhere.
And Mercedes said their involvement in Formula One is built on financially solid foundations and is in large part financed by our sponsoring partners.
Meow. Ouch. That's harsh. Okay. So we have sponsorship and we're fine.
Basically, all the other teams don't seem that bothered.
No.
They all seem to blame the Honda business model rather than the economic downturn.
That's because there wasn't a business model.
Yeah. Everyone bar Force India seems to have said they are committed, although I'm not sure about Renault. The BBC said they had done, but I haven't seen anything.
Nothing. There's no statement from Renault as far as I've spotted. Why do you think Force India haven't had anything to say on the matter?
That's a good question.
Maybe they're thinking of buying it. Maybe they're one of those teams. They're going to buy. They're no longer to do. They're going to run two teams. They're going to have the McLaren B team and then the Force Honda A team. It's going to be Vijay's big plan.
Force Honda A team.
Yeah,
that's a great name. All the news outlets seem to be summing up who's the next most vulnerable team.
Go on.
Seems to be either Force India or Williams.
Right, Williams have said they are absolutely fine for next year. They have 90% of their sponsorship already sorted.
Yeah.
They may have lost an awful lot of money this year. Some of that to me, because obviously, as I said before, they gave back. They actually did
quite
it this
a
week.
Lot to their fan club people.
They did that this week. They gave me that money back. But it looks like this year going forward, they are absolutely fine, and they're a racing team.
Well, yeah. The good thing about Williams is they don't have anything else out there to weigh up against Formula One.
They're not going to get any bad PR. For spending $200 million a year on Formula One, whether or not they can afford it, because they don't have to lay off any other staff apart from the racing side.
So not Force India and not Williams. Who do you think is the most vulnerable next?
Well, I can see that Toyota wouldn't have a huge reason for being in Formula One. If Honda's main reason for leaving was the fact that they were rubbish, and they achieved nothing in terms of what they hoped to achieve, and this year we got their backsides kicked by Toyota, their nearest rival. Toyota have said they can't afford the Fuji circuit anymore. Honda are no longer in Formula One. Toyota haven't achieved anything like the achievements they set out to.
Toyota versus Honda, they've got no one to battle against now.
Regardless of money, but they also have staff that they potentially may have to lay off if they've got thousands and thousands of cars that just magic themselves out of nowhere. They can make them into some PR problems, and I wouldn't be surprised if Toyota aren't the first to go.
But they did make a point of coming out and saying, Honda have left, yes, but we will not do so.
Right. Well, they say that, but do they really have that control? If the word comes down from Japan that they're out of it tomorrow, they're just out of it tomorrow. Who said that? Who actually said that? And is that person in any position to make any decisions? One point just raised by Lady Snowcat in the comments. She's pointing out that think of the face that Toyota have saved after Honda's dreams have now gone up in smoke. It might be enough to keep Toyota in the sport. Just because being in it now will give them enough credibility that they don't have. Doesn't matter if they don't win anything. Doesn't matter if they don't achieve anything they want to achieve. The fact is they outlasted Honda, so that might just be enough to keep them in there. The budget could be slashed. They could be a backmarket team, but still in Formula One is credibility enough.
So as we mentioned earlier, Max obviously knew this was coming. Looked into his magic eight ball.
Right, has he got one of them?
Yeah, and announced more on the standard engines thing.
This is a tender that was put out, was it in China? It was on Friday of a Grand Prix weekend. Must have been China, when we had better things to be worried about than standard engines. And we hated the idea.
I did. I went on record as saying, I'm quitting Formula One.
Yes.
If this happened.
Absolutely. And I agreed with you. Except Max came back with a bit of a tweak. Now, I don't know how this story ended up written the way it was written, or whether we misinterpreted it, or whether it was just the way that the media wanted to portray it or not. I'm not entirely sure how it got lost in translation. But originally the story came out that Max was insisting on standardized engines, and there was going to be one engine, and they could be rebadged or rebranded to the manufacturer's desire, but they weren't going to design them anymore. So every team would be given the blueprints, and then the teams would just make them to that, as per that specification. Max came out with a proposal with impeccable timing on Friday morning, with one tiny little tweak which makes a hell of a difference to the proposal. And what that tweak is, it says there will be a standard specification engine
from Cosworth,
built by Cosworth, designed by Cosworth. We're guessing the 2006 engine that Williams ran, so with no changes, no tweaks. It's just the homologated engine that the FIA have. That engine will be available with blueprints and specification for anyone to build and brand, or, and this is the big difference, you can keep running the engine you currently have designed and homologated. So Ferrari can keep running a Ferrari, McLaren can still keep running their Mercedes. All the teams throughout the grid can continue doing exactly what they are doing without any cost implications. Or if they decide that they can't afford, if they're not a manufacturer and they can't afford an engine, to buy an engine off a manufacturer, they can use the Cosworth engine at a very, very, very low price.
Well, see, I don't understand, because then it's not a standard engine.
It is a standard engine.
But it's not, because not everyone has to use it.
Well, it is a standard, it's just not mandatory. So it's a specification that anybody can buy. I'm assuming you buy it off the FIA.
Well, okay.
You pay. You must pay, maybe you pay Cosworth directly. You buy the engine off Cosworth. Everybody who buys that engine, and Max said he needs at least, or ideally would like, four teams or more. If there's more, the cost will come down even further. So Williams say, right, we don't want to pay Toyota. We're going to buy an engine off Cosworth for €5 million per year, I think.
But then it's going to be like, if, say, Williams buy Cosworth's engine,
yeah,
which I can totally understand them wanting to do.
Presumably brand it Williams engine.
Okay. And then Ferrari aren't going to do that. They're going to keep making their own.
Correct.
Well, the Ferrari one's going to be 3,000 times better.
Well, you say that, but according to Max, he's going to, the Cosworth will become the benchmark for performance. So
he's going to have all these like limitations. Like, Ferrari, you can build your engine, but it's got to look like this. That's right back to the standard engine thing again.
Yeah. Well, it is. No, what he's saying is that this engine will deliver 19,000 RPM. And we're going to take that as the benchmark, and we're going to measure all your engines. We're going to limit them to this performance. I don't know. The thing is, they tried to do that this year, and it didn't work because some teams got faster than other teams, notably Toro Rosso faster than Red Bull, because Ferrari improved their engine more than Renault. So how the FIA are actually going to manage this, and whether or not it's going to be reliable, and whether the calibration is going to be any good, and whether they can enforce the rules. I mean, they've shown a history of not being able to enforce the rules to any effect, so that certain teams get advantages by interpreting the rules better than other teams. If it's possible, Max can say the slowest engine, the Cosworth, is going to be the fastest you can make your engines, and therefore there will be very negligible difference between running the Cosworth and running a Ferrari.
Then you might as well buy the Cosworth, and then it becomes a standard engine. I don't understand the point.
Right. Well, no, not particularly, because the Cosworth did blow up a lot when it was in the Williams. It wasn't that, I mean, great engineering, but it wasn't the kind of engineering standard that Ferrari have. So, if you manage your own engine, you can build it to your desires. You can investigate it, and you can make the parts as strong as you want them to be, and make sure you can manage the life cycle of those parts much better than if you buy in the blueprints and do it that way, or buying a standard engine from Cosworth. So, the Ferrari should be more reliable, if not faster, or the McLaren should be more reliable than Williams. So, there is still a benefit. I mean, it's so cheap, it's almost a no-brainer, and everybody will run it. But there's still the pride that BMW have of building their own engine. There's still the pride of Ferrari having their own engine, so they'll still do it. But yeah, it gives Williams a chance. I mean, Vijay Mallya must be looking at this deal and thinking, I can't believe I've just signed with McLaren. Because now he's suddenly got the opportunity to get a Cosworth for next
to
nothing.
So can he still buy from McLaren Mercedes?
He can do what he wants, yeah.
But they would have to provide it to this rubbish specification.
No, they can provide their existing McLaren engine, and he can pay for it, but he's going to pay a lot more for it, unless McLaren...
But I thought you said it had to be worse than the Cosworth.
Well, yeah, it will be as fast as Cosworth, but it will be built by McLaren, so it will be more reliable than the Cosworth. My question is, and I don't really quite, I haven't quite got to the bottom of exactly how it got mixed up, but we didn't get told this last important bit, which was Max's, or you can just keep your own engine.
I think none of the teams did either, because they were all upset about it, weren't they? Ferrari are quitting, all this stuff.
Ferrari had a go at...
they obviously missed that memo too.
Yeah, Ferrari. The FIA had to send out a clarification after Ferrari said, we're not having this and this isn't what we want. So, but according to Max, it was in his original letter that he sent to the teams on the 18th. So somewhere along the line, he changed his story and that didn't get relayed to the media. But we've got this new transparent Max Mosley on Friday, and he's given away all the information he's been telling the teams. And now we have a lot more information to base this on. So... somewhere along the line, somebody realised that you know, it wasn't quite what people wanted. We didn't want regulation spec engines.
Oh, I wonder what gave that away. Us all going, right, that's it, I'm off.
It was that you threatened
Alonso
to quit.
Alonso said he was off.
I think Max listened to the show and he said, oh, Christ, I can't lose Christine.
Yeah.
Let's try and appease her. What is coming in, though, is mandatory specification transmissions. So mandatory KERS, I think, and a mandatory gearbox will be made for all cars built by X-Track and Ricciardo. And as far as I can tell, there's no appetite for that. You've just got to run that, and that's going to be a cost saving thing. And I can't say that bothered.
Yeah, that seems less important than, I mean, the engine is enormous, isn't it? It's a huge part of it.
Yeah.
So, in the comments, someone said, is Alonso still leaving the sport if there's a standard engine? Well, you know, if he's anything like me, he might have changed his mind slightly. Now we've got more information.
Yes, I'm guessing he didn't get that memo from Max that Max had changed his mind.
We just didn't know.
But according to Max, he'd already told everybody. So maybe nobody read the information, or all the press decided to, either they misread it or they just.
Max said he told everybody, and everyone went, no, you didn't. Who do you believe?
No comment.
Obviously, we've had lots and lots of reaction to Honda and the standard engine and everything all over the blog and in Facebook and emails and that. But there were two important points I wanted to pick up on. On Facebook, Andrew Pegg raised a good point. He said, in Australia, and I'm assuming other countries, there are always Honda ads on while the race is on. The tagline to the ad is, if Honda doesn't race, there is no Honda, or something like that. And it's said by the founder of Honda Motor Company.
So is this a precursor to the end of Honda?
There is no Honda, apparently.
That's it. It's over. It's gone.
Also, are they going to not race lawnmowers anymore?
No.
How disappointing.
I don't know, actually. It would be quite embarrassing if they did. We can't deal with Formula One. It's too expensive. But get on that mower and get going.
That would be good. And in the comments, Dan Brunel said, Formula One is now a sport where the tracks can't afford to hold a race, the teams can't afford to participate in it, and many fans can't go to a Grand Prix near them because almost all of them have been taken away.
Yeah, very true. It's hard to be a Formula One fan this week.
It's been a really depressing week. I wanted to just give it all up.
Really?
Yeah.
Just because Honda left?
Well, no, it was like there was nothing to look forward to. Honda left, Alonso said he was going to leave if the standard engines came in. Yep. Standard engines obviously came in, and at the time I didn't understand this new tweak.
Yes.
We get ugly cars, you know, it all just, everything seemed bad.
We haven't got a tent to sleep in this year.
No.
We're going to have to buy our own Silverstone tickets.
Do?
I don't know. I tell you what, I think half of Honda's problem is the amount of beer we drank.
No, do you know what I think? Is they were so busy concentrating on this room service to your tent, they didn't take a look at the bigger picture, did they?
They spent too much on PR.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a bit of a downer for us. So I understand why it wasn't the best day in your world. But I think there is still stuff to look forward to in the sport. I'm still feeling positive. The thing is, the reason we're in this situation is because some people, well, a lot of people, messed up big time with their business plans and their with what they were trying to do. The team weren't as fast as they should have been. Honda completely screwed up when it came to Subaru Aguri. I mean, look how badly they managed that situation.
They didn't handle that well.
It's rubbish. And we should have seen the warning signs then. These people are incompetent. They don't know what they're doing. They shouldn't be in charge of Formula One teams, and they're just better off if they leave. The world is better off without them. And that's the thing. Don't be depressed that Honda have gone. Don't be depressed at all the screaming headlines saying the sport's over, everyone's overspent, the whole world's coming to an end. It's not. Honda got it very, very wrong. And we're actually in a better position after they've done what they've done.
It all becomes a lot clearer now, doesn't it?
Yes. We're down a team.
Yeah.
And two drivers at the moment, or one driver and one anonymous person who's gone missing.
Someone's disappeared.
Is out of a drive. A lot of engineers are wondering what they're going to do for Christmas. It couldn't have come at a worse time for the people in the factory. There's a whole area around Brackley, presumably the economy is in real trouble at the moment because it employs so many people around that area. There's lots of suppliers and smaller companies who rely on Honda's business to stay afloat, and they've all been screwed over by some incompetent fools back in Japan who just decided, right, we're going to pull the plug. But there's no reason to get depressed.
No, I mean, that day it was just a bad day, wasn't it? And it hit us all.
Yes.
It was just a shock.
It was just
completely.
It was horrible. I'll tell you what it reminded me of. It reminded me of the day that Take That split up.
Yes, we needed a helpline.
That's what we needed.
Where was the helpline?
We needed someone to ring and say, I'm really depressed. It's just the world's ended.
Me. Yeah.
And Rob is left and I feel really bad. That's the important thing. You can throw as many sensationalist headlines around as you like. The fact of the matter is, some people who didn't know what they're doing are now no longer in the sport, and therefore the sport must be better off without them.
Housekeeping. Like you've mentioned a couple of times, we went to Paris this weekend.
Yes.
It was going to be a nice, relaxing holiday.
Oh, in the off season.
Yeah.
Side podcast tour.
Yeah.
It was
sort of like a tester tour.
Mm.
Because we wanted to test out our technology and see if it worked on the continent.
Yes, because we've not streamed 3G or done any form of 3G connection outside of England. It's okay, you can go to a field in the middle of England, go to Silverstone, and we can live comment from there. That's one thing.
Yep.
The next challenge is, can we do it from a race in Europe?
Yes.
What do we have to do?
If there will be any left to go to.
Whilst there still are some. So the next challenge is to plan for that, and that's really what we were doing. France isn't that far away. It's literally just one train ride. Under the sea. Yep, and just drive on, drive off, and see what 3G does and doesn't work there. And by and by, doesn't work.
Well, I have to hold my hand up and say I'm stupid, because we took my G1, because I've got a new Google phone.
Yes, the Android.
Yep.
And you're not going down the Apple route with that one. I'm shocked.
Well, it's always good to have seen you've gone down the Apple route, so I thought it'd be good to have a competitor, see how they stack up. And I really like it, but I don't want to do a full review or anything.
No.
So anyway, I had the G1, and it has Google Maps on it, because obviously it's a Google phone. Mm. And so we didn't actually have a map. Well, we had a sort of vague map of France.
A helicopter view, I think, is the general expression.
But for any actual close-up, we were sort of hoping that the G1 would do its job, except I hadn't ticked the button that let me look at Google Maps in a foreign country. So we drove for a long time and we got quite lost. So I just wanted to hold my hand up and say,
it's a learning experience. The reason we're doing this at a low-pressure time when nothing's going on in the world of Formula 1 and there's no news to talk about whatsoever, that was the plan of doing it at this point in time. And it doesn't matter that you've got us completely lost for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours, just for the sake of a tick of a button. That's called a learning experience.
Yes.
That's the side pod tour. But we got off to an amazing start.
We drove for 3 hours around Paris, which is hell on earth, can I just tell you. Paris is lovely, but driving in Paris, not so good.
I think the FIA have got the super license thing wrong. Because a Formula 1 driver, you need a certain number of kilometres in a fast car before you can apply.
Yeah.
A certain number of testing mileage before you get one. It's a complete waste of time and a complete waste of fuel and a complete waste of money. What the FIA need to say is, if you can get to our headquarters in a car under your own steam...
Yeah.
You can have a super license, because if you can get from the outside of the outskirts of Paris to the FIA's headquarters, you deserve a super license. They are nuts.
They should have actual stewards just monitoring Paris, I think.
Yes.
And giving out penalties.
They would have a field day.
I've never seen such horrific driving in my life, and I've never heard so much beeping of the horn.
No. I'll tell you something. When you take your car in for a service in France, they don't bother checking the headlights. They don't clean the engine. They don't do anything in that. All they do is basically replace the horn with a bigger and louder one. That's it. That's all you need. That's all you need to get around. There was one car, I swear we saw, it was so dented it no longer looked like a car. It had another car from another make of another model stapled onto the side. An oversized door which didn't even fit and didn't even shut, and it was just driving around. I ain't getting close to that thing.
They dented the door to make it fit.
Yeah, they bashed the door in to fit it into the hole. Unbelievable.
So we drove around Paris for 3 hours, but we did manage to find our hotel eventually.
Yeah.
And we were right by the Eiffel Tower, which was lovely. Although I do have to say, I can't believe that in the whole of Paris, we picked a hotel that was right by the Eiffel Tower and looked out the window, can't see the Eiffel Tower.
I could see the car.
See the car park.
That was basically it.
Rubbish.
Never mind. We tried.
Yeah. But our main objective in going to Paris was to go to Max's house.
We did. Nice house. That's in Monaco.
No.
We were well out of the way. I'll tell you, we were really lost if we were looking for his house in Paris. We might have found his wife's house. She lives somewhere around there. But we found Place de la Concorde, the home of the FIA.
Number 8.
And took some pictures.
Yeah.
Had a look around. What a lovely building.
It really is.
I can see why Max fought to keep his job. Regardless of you know, being the head of motorsport and this high and mighty person, I think he just kept that job to work in that office.
It is nice.
Gorgeous.
We were taking a lot of pictures.
It's much bigger than I would have imagined it to be.
Obviously they've only got a bit of it.
Yeah, there's the
four other
French Motorsport Federation are based there as well, and I think it generally seems to be motorsport related. It's next to the US Embassy, which sits right beside it.
Yeah.
Can't take pictures of that. Security guard told us off.
We were taking a picture of the sign that says 8, Place de la Concorde.
Yeah.
And then the security guard said, no pictures of the embassy. What? Not interested. I didn't even know there was an embassy there.
We have no idea what you're talking about. We just want to take a picture of Max's front doors.
Yeah.
I don't think he sees much of that, to be honest with you. We might have been the only ones, but it's gorgeous.
I was a bit embarrassed that I was stood outside the FIA taking pictures with a massive zoom lens in my Formula One coat. I thought I might have looked like a bit of an anorak.
Yes, he wasn't there either, which was disappointing.
No.
We did hang around for quite a while. Nobody important came and went. What was slightly weird is I leant on the gate to take a picture and the gate opened. I kind of expected
Did you go in?
No, but I expected it to be locked.
And the only other thing we really wanted to do in Paris was go up the Eiffel Tower,
yeah,
as you do. But we went there at night time and the crowds were just mental. Mm. There were queues like 9 o'clock at night, massive queues.
No queues to take pictures of the FIA building, thankfully.
No.
I think tourists have got their priorities all wrong.
And then we went back to the Eiffel Tower again the next morning and it was shrouded in fog.
Yeah.
So all our plans were scuppered.
Well, yes.
Well, anything not Formula One related was scuppered, which tells us something important, I think.
Go on, what does it tell us?
Only ever do Formula One stuff.
Well, we can do, there's more to do. I mean, in terms of 3G stuff, we've got more to learn. You need to tick the tick box that says we can do international roaming. We need not to get lost more. And hopefully throughout the off-season, we'll be able to go to some other places and we'll be better and we'll be more organised and there'll be less news going on to distract us.
The other thing I wanted to mention was the season review audio things we've been asking for. We've had quite a few in, but we think we might have to extend the deadline. It was supposed to be Friday, but Honda sort of put a downer on things, and we can see how you wouldn't want to be going, what a great season.
Yes.
After such a depressing end to the year.
Remember Brazil. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Remember that moment.
So we're extending it until presumably next Friday.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So what we want is your great season reviews by audio. So call the Skype number 01212887225. Or if you can record yourself and email it to me, that's good. Tell us what you think of the year. It can be long. It can be short. Just a couple of sentences. We don't mind. We want to hear it.
Okay. That's us. That's our emergency podcast done and dusted. Not been the best week in Formula One's history, but we're not going to get down. There's much to look forward to. There's exciting times ahead and we're going to be here through all of the good times now that we've got through this bad moment. And in the words of McLaren, I think what we need to do is twist again. Come on, let's twist again.